All right, we're back for hour number two. And Ham Davis is going to join us for part of this hour. So we'll take your calls and questions on health care reform at 244-1777. Toll free 877-291-8255. All right, we head to Washington, D.C. Joining us live on the line this morning from Talk Radio News Service here is Victoria Jones. Good morning, Victoria. President's over in Beijing.
Yes, he is. He's in Beijing.
What are we expecting? What are we expecting is going to come out of this? Big climate change agreement?
No, I don't think we're going to get a big climate change agreement out of this. I think we will get. I think we're going to get some progress on the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact. I think we're going to get some progress on climate. We're going to get some frank conversations probably on cyber. I do think we're going to get that because we know that the president plans to have that conversation. We're going to get the main focus of this trip is trade. We've got a G20 coming up in Brisbane in Australia. We've got meetings in Myanmar. I'm trying to remember the name of the summit in Myanmar. But anyway, there's a big summit in Myanmar. We've got the APEC summit going on currently in Beijing. So there are three big Asian economic meetings going on, bang, 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 one after the other. So it's all this is all about trade with sideline meetings on other issues.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. That sounds like it's going to be an enormous trade agreement. Do you know, does that dwarf some of these other ones?
Yes, it dwarfs NAFTA. I mean, it's a 12-nation agreement, which would cover about 800 million people.
Wow.
It'd be the biggest trade agreement ever.
Yeah. Hold on.
Doesn't include China. No, not include China.
Okay. My guest here, Ham Davis, who's a journalist, has a question for you.
I'm just curious whether you think that the president, how the president will deal with the fact that the Chinese have become much more nationalistic and that they've been actually verbally thumbing his nose at Obama. How is he going to deal with that?
I just rise above it.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's what he's been doing right along, right?
Yeah, I mean, and they aren't going to do it to his face. Mm-hmm. I mean, the leaders aren't going to do it to his face.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's not the way they would do it. You know, they wouldn't do that in public. They're far more sophisticated than that. They wouldn't do that in public. He's well aware of the kinds of things that have been written about him in some of the semi-official newspapers in the last few days since the elections, talking about his diminished power and his diminished clout. He's aware of those things and questioning him, and he knows he's going to be tested while he's over there. But this is probably the most confident man I've ever come across. He has absolutely no doubts about himself.
All right. Well, that can sometimes be a problem, can it?
It can be a problem, but in this kind of situation, I think it's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to go into something like this when you're dealing with Putin and Xi Jinping and all these other people who have equal assurity about themselves. And who are all jockeying for position. I mean, China is certainly jockeying for position as the leader of the world. Putin wants to be the leader of the world. You've got to be absolutely sure of yourself. Otherwise, they're going to. If they sense any weakness at all, they're just going to devour you.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be sure of that. Also, the very sophisticated China watchers are saying that, you know, even though it may seem that they feel that he's got less political clout now than he had before the election, what the Asian politicians were really more concerned about was the government shutdown and the possibility that the U.S. might default on its debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have impacted the global economy. To them, internal politics is not nearly as important.
Right.
Right. That's true. That's true. Two other stories I wanted to ask you about this. The 25th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down.
So yes.
So is there any significance in this anniversary other than a number?
I think the significance in the sense, there certainly is, it's fascinating that it's Angela Merkel who's the chancellor and that she was, you know, she grew up in East Germany and that she came through that night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did, you know, she was one of the young people who actually came through the war. You know, she did the whole thing. She was there. That's fascinating. It's significant that Germany did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they united and that Berlin is now the capital. It's no longer Bonn.
And it's an economic powerhouse.
Economic powerhouse. It's the most powerful country in Europe.
Yep, far and away.
So I think that's fascinating. But beyond that, I mean, you look what's happened since the Second World War. You know, I'm thinking about the war, and I'm thinking about that in particular, partly because of Veterans Day, and it's also Armistice Day in the country that I grew up in tomorrow. And it was Remembrance Sunday yesterday, and the Queen, you know, left a wreath at the cenotaph for the Tomb of the Unknowns and on behalf of the nation, and then all the royals left wreaths, and there was a two-minute silence across the nation. They have a two-minute silence at 11 a.m., and it was all very powerful. I've got a video of it coming on my in my news notes, and so I'm thinking very much of that, and it's the 100th centenary, you know, it's the centenary of the start of World War One. Also, mm-hmm. this particular Veterans Day, Remembrance Day.
Wow.
And so I think these things are important to consider when you consider the coming down of the Berlin Wall, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. The other story I want to ask you about, we were talking a little bit about this last hour, this case the Supreme Court's going to take up, looking whether or not the subsidies are allowed for people in the federal exchange.
Yeah.
Why are they taking it up when there's not the usual courts disagreeing?
We don't know, because they never say, and it only takes four justices to decide to take something up. So court watchers, and it's not just liberal court watchers, although they're freaked out about it, court watchers are saying they think it might be political.
Really?
Yeah, because there isn't that much disagreement. There was like one court.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the other courts, everybody else agreed that there was no case here.
Mm-hmm.
That basically, yeah, the way the Affordable Care Act is written, it's pretty clear that these subsidies are intended for the entire country. That's the way the law was written.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe it was a typo, or you could read it to mean the state, as in it is the state. The country, the state, not a state. But it's people have chosen to interpret it that way, and these people who have brought the case, some of them, they haven't been harmed in the slightest by this actually, but they claim they have, and I think that it's quite possible that this will doom the Affordable Care Act.
Hmm. All right. Wow. How are they going to? I mean, is this a fast track? I mean, this is a pretty key decision, right?
Yeah, it'll probably be heard in March. This is going to be deja vu. Probably be heard in March and the decision in June. This right. could end the Affordable Care Act, which will be frankly astonishing, because by June, you know, we've got like 7.5 million people, 8 million people with it now. After people have signed up in the second sign up, which starts in a couple of weeks, and they can window shop as of today,
mm-hmm.
You could have as many, the CBO projects, you could have as many as 13 million people covered by this thing.
Mm.
And suddenly, they'll be told, well, all those of you with subsidies, you can't have them anymore.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Wow.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Because the Supreme Court... The conservatives on the Supreme Court say you can't.
Mm-hmm. Hold. We got another question here coming for you.
Do you think that that this amounts to a chance for the conservatives to revisit the Roberts decision that endorsed Obamacare two or three years ago?
No, and I don't think it matters. If they can bring it down this way, this will destroy it. It can't stand without the subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
It can't hold on its own weight.
Boy, the subsidies are pretty significant too. I was reading the averages, like what, $2 to $2.50 a month.
Yeah, it needs the subsidy in the same way that it needs the individual mandate, which people object to for silly reasons, really. And I understand the objection. I do understand the objection, but really, you've got to have without the individual mandate, and it's the word mandate that people don't like, but without everybody chipping in, if you call it chipping in, without us all pulling together, you can't have this thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not all in it together, regardless of whether I'm advocating for it or not, the fact is, if you're not all in it together, it won't work.
Because of the power of insurance pools.
Yeah, because of the power of insurance pools. Otherwise, you're going to have people, oh, really? Oh, I'm sick? Oh, I'll go and sign up now.
Right.
You can't have it. You can't do it like that.
Thank you, Victoria. Have a great day.
You too.
Victoria Jones joining us live on the line this morning from our nation's capital. So this decision, if Obamacare is taken out because of the subsidies, what on earth does that mean? What does that mean for Vermont?
I really am not. I'm not sure. There's just many issues. In a certain sense, the Act 48 stuff is absolutely going to go forward. One of the questions that Victoria didn't deal with, not that she should have. Okay, is that if Obamacare can't stand without the subsidies. Does that imply any change in the other aspects of the Accountable Care Act, which including the establishment of accountable care organizations like OneCare, which is a medical organization now operating in Vermont that includes all the hospitals and most of the doctors, and also includes Dartmouth-Hitchcock, which really completes the medical care delivery system for the state of Vermont. I think that Act 48 is enormously powerful, and the Green Mountain Care Board is a very powerful organization. But if I don't think that you can control costs purely with regulation, and I think you need an agreement in effect between the medical community and the regulatory community about how to do this. And getting to that point is in train at this time, in spite of the fact that nobody has written about it. And so if Obamacare goes down, I think it's no question this losing the subsidies would be very damaging. But every bit as important to me would be whether you would cripple the ability of medical communities to operate in the way that is envisioned as accountable care organizations. If you don't have those, then it's not clear how the medical community can take financial risk what they do, and B, have the power to do what they need to do to get the structure so that it works.
Talking with Ham Davis, he's a journalist who blogs about healthcare reform at vermontjournal.com. Let's go to Barry Town. Xenia, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning to your guest. The Capital Press Bureau, the Times Argus, says in today's paper that Shumlin lost his base in the election. Thinking of myself and others I've talked to since then, I think a lot of that is true. I have no problem with attempting single payer, but Shumlin has not been acting like a Democrat. You know, when he has had choices with surpluses, he wants to give it to business and not to the poor that have taken many hits on many benefits and help programs.
You got to help me here. When are we at a surplus? What do you mean?
Oh, there was a little one in this last year that came along, and he wanted to give it wanted to give it to a business rather than make up some of the human services cuts that he had instituted.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about this thing they wanted to set money aside to create incentives for businesses to stay. Okay.
He's been cutting human services, and he's done a very half-assed job in the overhauling the mental health system as according to the law that was passed. Also, about rights, although he's been a champion of rights for gays and lesbians, for people with disabilities, particularly psychiatric, he's worked hard to reduce rights, particularly around forced drugging. I don't know if he's just naive when he describes, that isn't forced drugging, he said. He says it's modern medicine. But, a lot of people will get diabetes from these drugs that they're required to take. And it's absolutely terribly invasive of the state to put drugs in your body that you don't want. The science is being challenged by more and more professionals that the stuff is not helpful. So, I think a lot of people feel that he's not acting like a Democrat. He's favoring the rich over the poor. He refuses to raise taxes.
Let me have our guest comment. Thanks for your call. What do you think of that?
Well, I think there's something to it. I think that there are really some parallels with Pete Shumlin and actually Howard Dean, and in many ways with Barack Obama, that they have had, in some areas, they have been very liberal. You could call them radical, but those areas are sharply limited. If you were to take away from the Shumlin administration, healthcare reform, which I think is not a liberal, really a radical issue. It's just that whoever goes out with it first is going to get in trouble. If you took that away, however, then the Shumlin administration has been quite conservative. And with Howard Dean, Howard Dean was in office for a long time, almost 12 years, right, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
He did some things that were liberal, but day in and day out on Republican concerns like any increase in taxes, the way you do your government spending and so forth, Dean was a conservative governor, and so is Shumlin if you strip out health care reform.
244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. A moment of your time for our friends at Jet Service Envelope, an outstanding local printer, and you can get a book published there. You can get your brochures done, newsletters, also calendars, and other paper products as well, too. How about some new letterhead and envelopes for your business to start 2015? Call them at 229-9335, 229-9335. The nice people that work there will help you sort through the products that you're looking for. For example, if you're looking for envelopes and letterhead, oh my goodness, the selection is pretty vast and deep, so you're going to want to get a little bit of assistance on that. And again, you can reach them at 229-9335 and on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. We've been talking with journalist Ham Davis about healthcare reform. So last hour, I asked you what the message might have been out of Tuesday's election on healthcare reform, and I appreciate that you say that it's hard to interpret. But here's my next question. Peter Shumlin says he's going to be reevaluating everything in the wake of this Tuesday election, that, he's not an idiot, didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday, and that clearly there was a message there. So if you're him, how do you know what to do on healthcare reform if you can't interpret what the message was from the electorate?
Well, that the assumption of that question is that there is a message specifically on health care from the electorate, and it's a coherent one. I don't think there is. I don't think the public understands health care reform at all, which I think that's the issue, okay? If Governor Shumlin thinks that he can extrude from the election results themselves some specific change that he ought to make in his approach to health care reform, I can't even imagine how he could do that. What I think the message is talk to us. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? How is that going to affect us? Explain it to us. Bring us in. And he hasn't done that. Until he does that, he's in trouble.
Why hasn't he done that?
I have no idea why he hasn't done it. It's not his basic style. I could just speculate about this, and maybe just sounds like pork chop psychology, but his style and his experience essentially has been as a political leader. And running political organizations is a matter of fast moving, strategic, being slick, knowing all the tricks, thinking faster than the other guy on your feet. Shumlin is awesome at that. The governing, okay, is a different kind of proposition. It does not yield to steps that are essentially just political. His instinct is going to tell him once people start to see what this thing is, he's not going to be able to just put happy talk all over it. It's going to be tough. It's going to be winners and losers. It's going to be very, very, very difficult to really carry out healthcare reform. And if he continues to tell people that it's just no problem, trust him, he's going to lose.
All right, so let's conclude here, and let me ask you this question. You said earlier that you didn't feel that, you thought that it was going to be a very difficult process for the legislature to approve $2 billion in new taxes on this. And you say it's more difficult now because of Tuesday's election. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well,
did I understand you right?
No, absolutely. Okay. Understood me perfectly. The reality is that legislatures are sort of a certain kind of beast. I've been in them. I've been in dozens of them, but I've also served in one. I mean, it's the this is the really, really, really complex problem. It isn't like gay marriage. Gay marriage was hugely difficult psychologically and politically and socially, but not intellectually. The family dog could understand what gay marriage was, yes or no. That's not true with healthcare. And so no responsible legislator, I think, is going to just follow party discipline and vote for a $2 billion bill because Pete Shumlin said so, or Shaft Smith said so, or Janet Ansel says so. They're going to have some idea where this whole thing is going. And right now, they do not have a clue. And it is now the 10th of November. It's going to take the idea that these people can go from 0 to 120 in 4 months is ridiculous.
But do you think the Tuesday results make the legislature, you say you thought it made it less likely. Why?
Because they have, because they're going to, maybe impossible for somebody like Peter Shumlin to infer from the votes exactly what the public means, but it won't, but what the legislators will see, or I think what everybody sees is the Republic is worried about it, that they're not happy with the Shumlin leadership. That's going to stop the legislature, I think, in its tracks.
Last question. You mentioned the family dog, which reminded me of something that you mentioned to me earlier, which is that this question about what came up in the campaign about how the Shumlin administration, that this health care reform is going to take away people's, or it's going to change somehow people's Medicare, and that it would threaten their benefits somehow. Can you explain if that's what that's all about?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know how much time we have left. I'm about to write on that today and tomorrow. The reality is that the Republican claim that was generated in the Northeast Kingdom but then spread to the rest of the state was that Shumlin was trying to take over Medicare, and that would threaten the benefits to seniors and their ability to have medical care. That is 150% false. It is absolutely false. You cannot, it's against the law to take people's benefits away. That does not mean that a healthcare reform does not need to be concerned about how Medicare gets done. So let me just tell you, if try this. I'm going to write it, maybe see if it works. Okay, there's two ways that you could deal with Medicare. One is that you could just take all the Medicare money that Vermont might get in a year. I don't know. I'm just making up a number, $600 million. And they could just send the government a check for $600 million and say, you take care of it. Okay, that cannot happen. That will not happen. That never was a possibility that it happened. It would happen. What you can do is, if the process that I've talked about of rebuilding the payment system and the infrastructure itself, if that is compelling, if the Shumlin administration can, if the planners can convince the feds that they know how to pay, to run the money through the system better than is happening now, then the CMS, the feds, they can approve that, and they pay it, and it goes to providers, but they can send it to providers in a form designed in the state. Now, that's okay, that's you got to follow that, okay? But in point of fact, they're doing that today, or there have been, has been approved to do in Maryland. The reality is that the Medicare is vital. Nobody is ever taking health care away from seniors. That is just a stupid, cynical, political claim. It cannot happen, but you can change it. And it's important to change it because of the many sources that are driving irrationality in the operation of the health care system. Medicare bears its share.
But even if you, let's say you ran it all through Vermont, the way you described it, they just cut a check. Isn't there the concern that you could, that the state government here could change the reimbursement rates? I think that's one of the things where people talk about Medicaid, how we change the rates and don't increase it for doctors, and the cost shift that Ruth talked about. Couldn't the same thing happen with the reimbursement rates, not the care that people receive, but how much the doctors get for it?
Absolutely. And that should happen. Because what's going on there is a shambles. And the question is how that gets done. As a practical matter, another thing that nobody's talked about, that's why you need one care. You cannot change this system. The feds wouldn't approve it unless the doctors and the hospitals agree on the new way to pay this, that the money gets paid.
What's a shambles in the Medicare part?
Well,
the reimbursement.
Okay, for example, just take an example. If you take, if you're going to have a hip replacement, and you get your hip replacement at Copley, it's going to cost you $31,000. If you get that hip replacement in Burlington, or you're going to pay $15,000. Now, and that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's not the tip of the iceberg. That's a mosquito on the tip of the iceberg. Well, that's a bad metaphor, but the thing is rife with that. There's all kinds of problems that have grown up over the last 40 or 50 or 60 years in the way the healthcare delivery system is structured. You have to rebuild it, and that's part of it.
Vermont Journal is where you'll find Ham Davis's blog about healthcare reform, pork chop psychology. That's one I'm going to take away from today. I haven't heard that one. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll let Ham get out of here. We'll take your calls the rest of the way. One of the stories I want to ask you about, we'll talk a little bit about this new proposal for a genetically modified potato. It's an interesting story. We'll be back right after these important announcements.
Thinking about doing some projects on your home? A home improvement loan from Granite Hills Credit Union is the answer. It's quick and easy. Borrow up to $10,000 with this personal loan at a great fixed low rate. No appraisal or title search required. Remodel your kitchen. Replace your roof. Or add a room. You decide. Looking to do a larger project? We have home equity loans with new lower rates or a line of credit that allows the flexibility of check writing. Give us a call, stop in, or visit us at granitehills.org to find out how you can make your remodeling dreams come true.
Granite Hills Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by the NCUA.
At Granite Hills Credit Union, the difference is you.
The condition of your teeth impacts your entire health. All Smiles Family Dental Center features an artisan quality denture lab on the Barry Montpelier Road. Now you don't have to travel for affordable dentures. Purchase our comfortable and natural-appearing dentures within 90 days, and we'll pay for your oral exam and digital x-rays. Please don't hesitate to learn more or to arrange a free initial consultation. Call 476-8700. That's 476-8700. Or visit myvtsmiles.com. All smiles on the Barrymont Pillier Road. Are you all smiles?
All smiles, all smiles. All smiles, all smiles.
Always On Time Signs and Designs can help put your business image before the public with cost-efficient signs, banners, vehicle lettering, and even full vehicle wraps. They work with your budget, and like their name says, they deliver on time every time. Let's hear from Tom Beardsley, Vice President of Sales at the Radio Vermont Group.
Here at the Radio Vermont Group, when we need banners, oftentimes we need them right away. So I call the guys at Always On Time Signs and Designs and tell them what I'm looking for. The turnaround is quick, the prices are right, the quality is outstanding. So I wouldn't hesitate to recommend to anyone, if you need banners, signage of any kind for any event, for promoting your business or whatever, give them a call. Always On Time Signs and Designs. They really are great. We've had a great experience with them.
Call Always On Time Signs and Designs at 223-8948 or 1-800-547-0808 for a free client consultation. Located at 115 Industrial Lane in Berlin, Always On Time Signs and Designs, 223-8948 or 1-800-547-0808.
For the latest weather forecast, call the WDEV weather phone, 800-585-1211 or 244-1172. The WDEV weather phone, sponsored by Twin City Subaru on the Berlin Mall Road. Stop in today and let one of the gurus introduce you to Vermont's unofficial state car.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Love to hear from you. I want to get to the story about the potato here in a moment. Got an interesting email over the weekend from Linda. Let me share with you this email I got from her about her experience with the Vermont Health Connect. Oof, boy. So here's the deal. She writes the following. Just want to share my latest extraordinary encounter with Vermont Health Connect. I've been getting letters and calls, including one at 6:40 p.m. on a Friday evening, saying, important, we need to hear from you, and telling me that earlier this year you asked us to update or correct your Vermont Health Connect application. We are sorry for the delay in making that change. You have 7 days from this notice to confirm or update your change. If we do not hear from you by that time, we will make the change based on what you last reported to us. Well, Joanne writes, the last time I contacted Vermont Health Connect to make a change was in February when I first had to enroll. We were previously part of the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont through the local chamber. At that time, I had a problem with the website. I wanted to sign up for a family policy and was not able to maneuver back to the page that let me do that. I understand this was a common problem. I resolved it by calling repeatedly, calling the governor's office, etc., and involving my state representative, and finally getting the attention of someone who was able to resolve my problem. There was then a problem with Vermont Health Connect not sending the right numbers to Blue Cross Blue Shield, and that impeded our policy from being completed. Again, I made a lot of noise, and the problem was resolved. My recollection is that both of these issues were resolved back in March, and I've been paying monthly for a family policy with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont. So when I got this letter from Vermont Health Connect, I did not respond because I didn't want to make any changes. But after they repeatedly contacted me, I decided to see what it was about. I feel like, you know, this is a shaggy dog story. Here we go. So, well, it turned out that the 1-800 number goes to someone in, more like Kafka maybe, someone in Orlando, Florida, who says they are the Vermont Health Connect Change Center. On Saturday morning, I first waited on hold for about 10 minutes. When I got someone and told them my Social Security birthday, they were not immediately able to tell me what they wanted to talk to me about. Some time was spent going through my file, and then they asked about my family size and my portal ID. I said I did not want to make any changes, and if they would stop contacting me. She said she would ask her supervisor, put me on hold, and came back and told me that the reason they had contacted me was to let me know that open enrollment was coming up. Nowhere in the letter was open enrollment mentioned, and now I hear there is a financial deficit in the Vermont Health Connect program. Are we surprised? I am aghast at the level of dysfunction of this program. Wow. I'm sure many of you have similar stories to tell. Coming up Thursday on the program, we're going to talk with Lawrence Miller, who has been put in charge of trying to fix the problems at Vermont Health Connect. He'll join us Thursday at 9:05. The governor joins us Friday at 10:05. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, you can reach us at 877-291-8255. Moment of your time for our friends at Green Mountain Access. If you're looking for an outstanding local internet service provider, make it our friends at gmavt.net. Call them toll free at 1-888-321-0815. And on the web at gmavt.net. Also want to remind you about our good friend Mike Roussel at the Tailor Shop in Stowe's Lower Village. If you need to get items adjusted inward or outward with more than 50 years of experience, you can count on Mike. And he's open on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He's in Stowe's Lower Village. And he's just a really great person to work with. Quick turnaround time. He's really quite skilled at his craft. In addition to adjustments that he can make to your clothing and alterations, he also does great repair work, too. So if you have an item that's of value to you that you just can't quite part with, you want to know whether or not to get that last effort to be saved, make it our friend Mike Roussel, because he can do some pretty magical work. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is when you will find him, and he is right up there in Stowe's Lower Village. On the right-hand side of the road, when you head up to the village there, you'll see the sign, and then you'll see the Shell station. Take that next driveway, and that'll take you into Mike's place of business. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and he opens the doors at 10 a.m. We'll take your calls the rest of the way this morning at 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free, 877-291-8255. Let's go to Cabot. Amy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I called you last week, Mark, about the ballot question that was happening in Cabot.
Oh, right, yep.
Yeah, to give voters back their right to make zoning decisions, and it was a landslide.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
408 people voted yes, they want their right back, and so we got it. And 54 people voted no, and there were only 28 blank ballots, which was impressive because it was a very confusingly worded question. So the fact that many people were confident when they voted that they, you know, knew what they were voting on. I know I leave those things blank sometimes, too, if I don't know what the question really is saying.
Well, and this is the one that you said that the town fathers and mothers made more complicated than it needed to be.
Right. Yeah, way more complicated. So we hustled and we did a good job, I think. I'm really excited, and I met so many wonderful neighbors. We have a fabulous community here.
But what does it mean? I mean, is there going to be a whole zoning map that's done? What happens next after this?
Well, the town was in the middle of rewriting. In fact, it almost completed their process of proposing a whole big new rewrite of the zoning regs, which, you know, was going from like 40 pages double-spaced to like 200 pages single-spaced. I mean, just crazy, you know, details. And they were going to just be able to pass that through the select board without the people voting on it.
Mm.
So now they're trying to make it more palpable by rewriting it again. And I don't know but at least it has to pass through the voters now. So things, you know, that most people are opposed to won't get imposed on them.
Well, do you think people are really going to be able to figure all that out, too?
Well, yeah. I mean, you should be able to read your zoning regs and, you know what you can and cannot do with your land.
Yeah.
Most people, you know, everybody I talked to really agreed with that concept. So
what's the issue? What's the pressure point in Cabot that drew this out?
Well, just that this is happening everywhere. I don't think it's just Cabot. That's what made me look at my local rules. This is happening in San Francisco, Brazil, everywhere. It's going to the local non-elected boards and having them take people's land rights away. And making it more expensive for poorer and middle-class people to live there so that there can be nice big open space for, I don't know, factory farms, wealthy. I don't know what they really want to do eventually, but we're in the way. And so I thought it was great that here in Cabot, people kind of understand that their land isn't an investment, it's a commitment. And, you know, we care for our land, and our land cares for us, and it's a loop we want to continue for future generations, and we don't want government rules that really have nothing to do with reality getting in our way.
Let me just make sure I understand this. Are you saying that the current rewriting that was going on was going in that direction of taking away people's rights?
Yeah. Yeah.
So once this comes out, the effort's going to be to try to stop it or change it somehow?
Well, at least the voters will get to vote on them. You know, before they're imposed, these new rules in our town are imposed. If other towns want to do this, this is an exception in Statute 24. It's under Section 4442. If other rural towns want to do this, it just takes a petition to, 5% of your voters have to say they want a question posed. You know, do we want the right to vote on these zoning rules or not? I think it'd be great if other towns did this because it is, you know, going around and talking to my neighbors, it was just so obvious people want their right back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't even realize it had been taken away in the first place. They didn't even realize these rules were being rewritten right under their nose.
Were those, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but were those rights taken away by an affirmative vote, or was that the default position?
That's the legislature took them away from all the towns in Vermont and gave all that power to the select boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to track down when exactly this happened. I know the Statute 24 that all this stuff is based in was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But some of my select board members said that this actually had been had happened years ago. I'm not sure when it exactly happened, but people seem to have been in the dark, including me. So once I found out there was an option to get the right back, I just went for it.
Hmm. Interesting. Boy, it certainly was overwhelming.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Have a good day.
And thanks for the update. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
244-1777, our local number. Toll-free, 877-291-8255. Looking for a great place to go for lunch today? Why not stop on down and see our friends at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery right off of Interstate 89 in Middlesex there. And it's right on Route 2, so it's a hop, skip, and a jump for you to get right off the interstate and right back on. If you don't have a lot of time, you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to be going on any big adventure once you get off the interstate. It's literally a minute or two at the most. And then you'll find great soups available at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery. They make terrific sandwiches each and every day on all sorts of different kinds of bread, too. And those are ready to go at 7 a.m. when you walk in the door there. So you could pick up your lunch and be on the way right then and there. Of course, you want to pick up a couple of Danish while you're there, too. You can also stop at Red Hen on the way home. They do close a little bit earlier on Monday. They close at 4. And the rest of the week, they close at 6. They open at 7 in the morning, 8 on Sundays. Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, where even on dark days, the sunshine manages to get in. It's just one of those nice, cheerful places that you'll want to hang out and enjoy their free Wi-Fi service and have yourself a great meal, too. Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, right off of Interstate 89, Exit 9, Middlesex. Quick break, back after this.
Looking for a loan for your Vermont business, childcare, or nonprofit organization? Look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Because at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we lend to Vermont businesses and nonprofits, even if the bank says you're not quite ready for a loan. At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we focus on people, not profits. We'll work closely with you before and after you get your loan to make sure you get what you need to succeed. The Vermont Community Loan Fund makes loans to early stage companies and established businesses ready to take the next step. We lend to farms and food producers, high-tech businesses, manufacturers, retailers, childcare businesses, affordable housing developers, service providers, and other nonprofit organizations. We make loans to Vermonters doing business right here at home and around the world. So if you're looking for financing to help your growing business, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Visit us online at investinvermont.org. That's investinvermont.org.
you have water damage or soot damage? Call SR Services in Montpelier. They're the experts. Don't get discouraged if your home has been damaged by water from flooding or a leaky roof. SR Services has the equipment and expertise to restore the appearance of your home to like new again. They work on tile and grout floors, too. Gray grout lines will be white again, thanks to SR Services. For water and smoke damage or professional carpet cleaning, call SR Services at 223-6577. SR Services, 407 Barry Street in Montpelier, 223-6577.
Put a chance for some jingle in your holiday gifts this year with the new holiday instant tickets from the Vermont Lottery. Santa Paws for Uncle Bob, Happy Holidays for Aunt Sue, Holiday Magic for Gramps, and some holiday cash for you. They're always the right color, always the right size, and they can turn into cash right in front of your eyes. So pick up a new holiday instant ticket today. Here's wishing you a very lucky holiday from the Vermont Lottery. Please play responsibly.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk with retired SEAL Master Chief Bill Atkinson. It is Veterans Day tomorrow. We're also going to talk with Bill about this whole controversy surrounding Navy SEALs and disclosing information and whether or not they should be writing books about some of the activities that they've been involved in. So I'll be coming up on the program tomorrow. Wednesday, Terry Hallenbach, who left the Free Press at the end of last week, her last day was Friday. I'm going to chat with her about some of the changes that are going on at that organization. 244-1777, that's our local number in Central Vermont. You can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. All right, let me tell you about this story. I thought this was an interesting one. Late last week, there was an approval by the Department of Agriculture on a new potato, which, you know, is a huge deal because potatoes are, my recollection, the number one vegetable that are consumed by Americans, mostly in the form of French fries. But so here's the deal here, because this is a little bit different than the stories that we've heard about genetically modified food in the past, and I'll cut the kind of one of the punchlines here, one of the conclusion bottom lines, is that they're using it's staying within the potato. This is not one of these products where you take a trait from another species. I mean, for example, there have been products, salmon, for example. There have been traits that have been pulled from salmon and put into other products to try to either have them be resistant to weather, disease, or other things you want to avoid. And unlike other products, they say the primary motivation for this genetic change is one that's supposed to help our human health, as opposed to in the past, many of these products have been changed and altered so that the amounts of pesticides are changed and they can become resistant to that. So let me just share with you what some of the highlights of this new product is. The potato's DNA is, according to Andrew Pollock, who writes about food in the New York Times, he says the potato's DNA has been altered so that less of a chemical called acrylamide, which is suspected of causing cancer in people, is produced when the potato is fried. They also say that the new potato will also resist bruising, which is a characteristic long sought by potato growers and processors for financial reasons. I guess we could probably all guess why. They have quite a picture here of the genetically modified innate potato next to a bruised conventional potato, and I guarantee you that there isn't one of you that would pick the bruised one. It's pretty ugly. The biotech, this new potato was developed by J.R. Simplot Company, which is based out of Idaho, a place where they kind of know something about potatoes. Privately held company. They were the initial supplier of frozen French fries to McDonald's in the 60s, still a major supplier. The company's founder died in 2008 and became a billionaire. Boy, that's no surprise, huh? In fact, I remember reading about
these folks in Fast Food Nation. And at one point, I mean, they were really controlling the potato market, and it was almost a situation similar to what we've heard about Walmart being able to extract these deals out of the suppliers that were very very tough negotiator. They go on to say the following here. The potato is one of a new wave of genetically modified crops that aim to provide benefits to consumers, not just to farmers, as the widely grown biotech crops like herbicide-tolerant soybeans and corn do. The non-bruising aspect of the potato is similar to that of genetically engineered non-browning apples, which were developed by the Okanagan Specialty Fruits, which are awaiting regulatory approval. All right, let me get down to this section here, which talks about how this is being genetically modified. And they, you know, one of the things that they point out in this story is that it's not Monsanto, and that may have an influence on public opinion, because this company, Simplot, is supposed to be viewed as different. And again, the method that they're using is different too. Simplot hopes the way the potato was engineered will also help assuage consumer fears. The company calls its product the innate potato because it does not contain genes from other species like bacteria, as do many biotech crops. Rather, Andropolog writes, it contains fragments of potato DNA that act to silence four of the potato's own genes that are involved in the production of certain enzymes, including the one I mentioned earlier that's supposed to be a bad one. Future crops, the company has already applied for approval of a potato resistant to late blight, the cause of the Irish potato famine, will also have genes from wild potatoes. We are trying to use genes from the potato plant back into the potato plant, said Haven Baker, who is in charge of the potato development at Simplot. We believe there's some more comfort in that. They go on to say the following, that is not likely to persuade groups that are opposed to such crops, who say altering levels of plant enzymes might have unexpected effects. Doug Gurian-Sherman, a plant pathologist and senior scientist at the Center for Food Safety, said the technique that's being used to silence the gene, which is called RNA interference, was not well understood. Quote, we think this is a really premature approval of a technology that is not being adequately regulated. He said one of the substances that's being suppressed in the innate potatoes appeared to be important for proper use of nitrogen by the plant and also for the protection from pests. The agriculture department said the levels of the various nutrients in the potatoes were in the normal range, except for the substances targeted by the genetic engineering. Simplot had submitted the potato for a voluntary food safety review by the Food and Drug Administration. Here's just a couple of other fun facts for you. The company says that when the innate potatoes are fried, the levels of acrylamide are 50 to 75% lower than for comparable non-engineered potatoes. Wow. All right, that's a pretty serious drop here. And they say that chemical causes cancer in rodents. Got an email about, we were talking with Scott Mellon at the beginning of the program about a story that appeared in Vermont Digger where on election night, And I referred to the story as strange. It wasn't the story that was strange. It was what was being described that I thought was strange, because it described this scene where essentially, you read the story yourself. My interpretation that Scott Mill was, for all intents and purposes, being ignored that evening by many of the Republican leadership. That's what I found to be strange. And he addressed that and said he didn't feel as though that was the case of what was going on. So that's what that was all about. All right. On that note, as I mentioned, we're going to be chatting with a former Navy SEAL coming up on the program tomorrow. We'll talk with Terry Hallenbeck of the Vermont Free Press coming up on Wednesday. Thursday, Lawrence Miller is in charge of health care reform. And Governor Shumlin will conclude the week with us. We'll also on Friday talk with Chittenden County Prosecutor T.J. Donovan. So hope you stick around and join us this week.
That's going to wrap things up for today. Have a great day, everybody. Come back and join us same time, same place tomorrow, right here on these great radio stations. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Northeast Kingdom, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier. News is next.
AP Radio News.